For tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
The wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet and honor the word of the Lord. Turn them to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. As you are turning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, our God, we thank you now for this opportunity to hear your word, to study your word, to receive from your word. Now meet us in your word. And then, God, give us all that is necessary to help develop us and define us so that you receive the glory and we the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Romans chapter 15. I want us to begin at verse 1, recorded are these words. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. As we look at this word that is written to the church at Rome, the believers at Rome at this time, Paul is making clear that what is before us is not by accident. It is there so as to give to us instructions, information, and thereby inspiration. What is important when we look at this, Paul is dealing with how believers are to demonstrate Christian liberties. There are some things that you are saved from and free to do because you are saved. Now, one of the things about those words that Paul spoke to us today, we're going to discover that they are just as relevant today as they were when they were penned. They are as necessary today as they were when Paul spoke it. And so this word again brings to mind and to conscience afresh that we who are developed, who are mature, who have grown in the Lord, ought to act that way. Amen. Especially as relates to the younger or to the weaker or to those who are not yet as mature in the faith. Look at what it starts off saying. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the who? All right. Now, what you've got to understand is that the word says we that are strong. Now, the strength here comes in our maturity. The strength comes in our being stable, stout, and strong in the word and the knowledge of what God would have us to do. Understanding that, it gives to us the comfort as well as the assurance in knowing that when you are strong, there are things required of you that God expects of you that he doesn't expect from those who are weaker or who are not as mature. Amen. In other words, you know, you can have two saints, one more mature than the other. One knows better, well, both know better, but one is more convicted and have been with God longer, understands the consequences, et cetera, et cetera. To that person, God is expecting to do all the more the thing that will be pleasing to God's sight and helpful to the brother, rather than him saying, well, you know what's right. Yeah, I know it's right. You know it's right. But as the one who is more mature, God holds you to a higher standard. That's right. First of all, because we need to understand, it's just like the family structure. The older child is given more responsibility than the younger child. Even though mom may have given both of them responsibility, there is still that extra burden of doing it right or doing it, period, on the older child than the younger child. One, because the one who is older knows better, been here longer, has had more experience, and thus more is placed upon them. The word has been clear, and it says, to whom much is given, much is required. Even in knowledge, God gives you more knowledge, he expects you to deal more with the knowledge you have. There are some believers who don't have half as much knowledge as others. They are going to be held accountable for what they do know. Now, that's why, again, it's important for us to understand, not just in knowledge. Knowledge is the one part of it, but it is the word that causes us to grow. It is the word that is strengthened on the inside of us, and as it is strengthened on the inside of us, consequently, it strengthens us. That's why the devil don't want you to stay in the word, because if you stay in the word itself is going to develop you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to sharpen your conscience. It's going to sharpen your convictions. That's why the word does in us what God designs it to do when we stay in the word. If we stay in the word, it's going to strengthen you. That's why God said his people perish for a lack of knowledge, and the devil knows that. That's why he wants to keep you out the book. The mature saint knows that. Now, you can have all the kind of books you want to have, but if you spend more time reading everything else and don't give the proper amount of time to the word, you may increase in worldly knowledge, but that will never compete with the word knowledge that is able to take you to places even beyond this world. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities. Now, again, this is important. Because understanding this, this means weakness, infirmities. It doesn't mean sickness, it means weakness. Now, all of us are weak in some areas,
yes.
Whether you want to acknowledge it or not. All of us. Now, here's the thing. If you are strong in one area and a brother is weak in another area, it doesn't give you right to act as if there are no weaknesses in your life and you are all of that. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 that, again, the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Those of us who are strong in the Lord ought to help those who are weaker. He makes clear, if a brother be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual ought to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why? Considering yourselves, because here is the point. You can still be up today, and before it's all over, you can be down. Just because you got it together today don't mean that it's going to be that way every day of your life. Sometimes, again, you catch a brother or sister in a situation where, you know, you're like, I don't see how they could have done that. Well, you don't know if that was their weak area. But you keep on living, your weakness will be exposed also. Because all of us, again, are subject to the flesh. And in that, that's why there has got to be a conviction as to bringing the flesh under control. Otherwise, the flesh will take over if we allow it to. Now, just because you're saved don't mean your flesh has been canceled out. I said, just because you're saved doesn't mean your flesh has been canceled out. So since your flesh has not been canceled out, you've got to learn how to control it. Any witnesses in the house? Just because you're saved don't mean everything is going to line up and everything's going to work out. Doesn't mean your appetite is going to be adjusted and automatically you're going to eat the proper portions, the proper foods. Y'all getting quiet on me here. Just because you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy, don't mean all of that. There are things that you're going to have to change in order to make everything work and fit the way that it ought to. And that's where you become strong in the practicing of the Word and fulfilling those things that the Word has taught us right from wrong. Look at what it goes on to say. It says, and not to please ourselves. Now, that is a fight against the flesh right there. Because, listen, if I'm strong, one of the benefits of being strong is pleasing myself. You know, I'm strong enough to do what I want to do, to have what I want to have, to be what I want to be. I'm strong enough to get what I want to get. So it's automatically clear that I be careful because of my strength that I don't use that to be selfish. And see, some saints who are strong are at the same time selfish. It's all about pleasing themselves. Not so much about pleasing God, certainly not about pleasing our brother, but more about pleasing ourselves. So look at what he says. We then that are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak. Listen at this, because this word infirmity means weaknesses. But now look at how it is placed. The weaknesses of the weak. Now, it didn't say the weaknesses of the strong. Because what that means is that the strong have focused on their weaknesses and have made their weaknesses stronger.
Yeah.
So then they who have been there and done that are the best teachers to deal with those who are weak and suffering from weaknesses, which is a spirit or continuation of weaknesses.
Right.
See, you got to help some folk help themselves. And sometimes the only way you can help folk help themselves is to go where they are. Reach down, pick them up, and pull them up. In Acts chapter 3, Paul and Silas were in the jailhouse, and then when, help me, the Holy Ghost, mind getting, when they said, look on us, who was that? Come on, Bob. Peter and John. When they went there, Peter and John said, look on us. And when the man said, well, what do you want? He said, silver and gold have we none. He said, such as we have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now notice here, he didn't just tell them that. When the man heard the words, he sat there. He said, look, I know what you want. You want money. I ain't got no money. But I got something that can help you get some money. See, a whole lot of us look at the effect, but we don't go to the cause. They looked beyond the effect. He needed money to live, but hear what he was saying. I can get, look, money don't help you live. Money help you exist. Life helps you exist, to live. And the life that I want to give to you is Jesus Christ, who said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up. And he reached down and picked him up. And it is in that picking him up that he leaped up and then had strength to be able to go on. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, you many times have to go to where a person is, who is strong, and bear the infirmities of their weakness. This man had been in his weak state and suffering with a spirit of weakness. His whole lifestyle was about just making it through the day. So even if he had a good day, listen, that he was going to start tomorrow the same way. Back out there begging again. I hope I have another good day today. Yesterday was a good day. Shake the can. Let's see if we can get some more. Well, now, listen, what he offered, Peter and James, was better than what this man had ever had in a cup. And so he was able then to make his own money. And how many of you know it's so much better to make your own money than depend on somebody to give you money? Because it just depends on how they feel that day. They might not be in the giving attitude. They might have issues and so forth. And they'd be like, no, I ain't my problem today. You know, and pass you by. But when you can go out and work and make your own money, then again, there is a liberty there that you haven't experienced. Look again, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, that's your brother or your sister. Again, now, it's moving from weakness or those who are weak to neighbors. But now here, the focus is still on not being selfish. It says, let's please those who are weak and not ourselves. And then it goes on, verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to edify that person. Again, it is for being built up. Edification means being built up. So now I'm required not only to help please those who are weak because I'm strong by giving them my strength and helping them to focus their attention on becoming better and being stronger, but now the attention is focused on my neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Anyone God brings into proximity with me, especially as it relates to those who are of the household of faith. So your neighbor can live across the world, but if he or she is in your proximity, then that becomes your neighbor. And so it simply is your responsibility to help build up. Now notice here, edification. I'm not pleasing myself. I am seeking to build up someone else who seeks to be built up.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at verse 2 again. Let every one of us please his neighbor. Now, his neighbor means the person God has assigned to you.
Amen.
To help build it. Do you not know that God has assigned some people to you?
Amen.
To help build it. Why this person? I don't know why. And you just can't. It's because God assigned them to you. God puts in them what they desire to be, and then they focus on you because God has shown it to them in you. Listen at this. And so here again, it's a responsibility. Notice here, it's a responsibility. It's a liberty in those who are strengthened and mature to understand that it is their desire, according to God's word, to help and be a blessing to others less fortunate. And I'm not talking about financially. Those who are not yet where God wants them to be. And it is the responsibility of those who are strong to help strengthen other folk, to build up other folk. Why? Because you are only as strong as your weakest link. And so we are as great as the weakest person in our ministry. And that's the responsibility of every strengthened brother or sister, to be a strength or a support system to those who are younger, immature, those who are weaker. It is our assignment, those to whom God causes us to mentor so that they can become strong. Look again at this word again. It says, let every one of us please his neighbor for
his good to edification. We're pleasing that person not for the sake of pleasing them. This is not about the flesh. This is about the spirit, because it says my pleasing that person is pointed to edification or to building up. They will never be pleased until they have grown to that point where they feel and sense they have reached another level and they have an identity and an alignment with you. See, sometimes you got to understand that God uses people on certain levels to mentor others. Now, that person may not be your assignment for life. It may just be your assignment for an assigned time. Because sometimes it depends on where their destiny is and what their purpose is, that God may allow you to be a part of the process moving up to the next level. And so that means that may be a point in time where he just might need you to get them through kindergarten. Then he assigns somebody else to get them through elementary. Then he assigns another saint to take them on up through high school, and another stronger believer. Are y'all hearing me yet? So your assignment may be for a season to help strengthen that brother or that sister according to what God has for him. Look at verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Now Christ said, listen, I'm taking the punishment and the whipping that was meant for you. But you couldn't handle it. So I came and I stood in your place for that was rightfully yours. Because again, how many of you know that Jesus Christ was the only man who ever walked on planet Earth that did not deserve the sin punishment that he got, because he himself was sinless and perfect. And yet he took all of our sins, paid for all of our punishments, stood in our place and received what none of us could have handled and dealt with, not to please himself, but to please us, or provide for us, or to bring us to the place of being able to be strong like him. Look again at what the word says. It says, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. This word that we have here is not here for nothing. It's not just good reading. It's not just about a story being told. But the record is that it was written aforetime for our learning. Not for our reading. For our learning. Not for our perusal. For our learning. Not for our quotating or quoting or quotations. Learning. Not for our ability just to have a book and have references, but for our learning. And so the word is here. Every word in the word is here for your learning. Let me ask you a question. Would your life be forever changed if you knew every word in this book? Question is, why you don't know it then? Because here is the thing, and here is the truth, that if it is here, let me ask you a question. How many of you think that you would have made some of the mistakes you made if you knew all of the Word of God? How many of you think that you would still be in what you're in right now if you knew all of the Word of God? See, the point is, if again, the devil can keep you from learning this, not reading, learning. Because there is a difference, though reading is the prelude to learning, it is not necessarily the end of learning. Somebody didn't get that. I'm trying to help somebody understand, just because you read your Bible at night. Isn't it amazing how you only get sleepy when you read the Bible? Why do you choose to read the Bible at night when you're sleeping? Amen. You get in the bed, you took your shower, you drank your own milk, and you open up the Bible. Read the same passage three times. Where did I stop? I wish I had a witness in the house. Now, you ain't
learned nothing. You read it, but you didn't learn anything about it. And it's not there just for you to read. It's there for you to learn. The Holy Ghost is really your teacher who's going to bring revelation from the scripture so that you will be able to incorporate that in your life and your living. So look again at what it says. For whatsoever things, and that's the entire word, were written aforetime, were written for the purpose of our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Do you know my hope ought to come from what God said? If I'm hoping in anything or anyone other than what God has said or who God is, my hope is in vain. Why should I hope in what God says? Well, let me give you a few answers. First of all, he's not a man.
All right.
That he should lie.
All right.
See, you know, everybody who lies don't necessarily lie for fun.
That's right. Amen.
I hear y'all good acting all holy in the name. Sometimes you lie trying to spare folk feelings. And you think a lie is going to make it better. You think, you know, a lie softens the blow. No, not really, because they actually get hit twice. Because once they find out the lie was a lie, then you got to come back and tell the truth. So that you hit them twice with a blow when you could have hit it straight one time, and that's it.
That's it. Amen.
Let one pain do fall, but you keep reopening the wound because you have to go back and cover up the lie. If you try and tell another lie, then you got to try and cover back up. So you just keep hitting, whereas bam, just knock it out.
Say it, Pastor.
You ain't got to keep thinking about it, they ain't got to keep thinking about it.
That's right.
That's the truth right there. It may hurt you harder than it hurts them to tell the truth, but just tell it and let it be that. All right. Well, here again, the reason why, you know, it's important for you to understand that you ought to believe what God said is because anything God says has got to come to pass. If he's not a man that he should lie, if he said it, it's going to happen. So if it's going to happen, then you need to put your hope in the one who is able to make it happen. That means that all I have to do is attach my faith to his word and his will and his way, and whatever he said is going to happen. If I know that in my heart and if I know that in my spirit and I hold on to what God has said, then my hope is built on nothing less than what God has declared in his word. He said, thirdly, that all heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word will ever pass away. So that means that his word is concrete. It's cemented. It ain't going nowhere. It is solid. It is stable. It is stout. It is strong. Everything I need to hope and not have my hopes disappointed is found in the word of God. That's why if I'm going to build my hope on something, I need to make sure that it's in God's word. And then when it's in God's word, I got to make sure that my hopes are aligned with the proper context of the scripture and make sure I'm not trying to make my hope mean something the word don't mean. I've got to claim what he says is mine. I can't claim what belongs to somebody else. I got to know the difference. I got to know what God has ordered and what God is ordained and what God is doing, so that when I attach my faith to it, I have a part and I have a reward for my faith because it is correct. So look again at what the word says. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. There are some examples in the word. They were not just for those persons. They were there to be precepts, to be examples, to be those who would teach us in how to go in and come out, how to get what we need from God as way of an example. So when you read the word and you say, God, you did it for this person. And you're the same God, and you said, if I believe like so-and-so, that I shall have the same thing. These things were there for our learning. What's the whole purpose of looking at Job? And you want to talk about patience, and when you start going through some stuff, I got news for you. You can't ever ask for God to give you the patience of Job without the problems of Job. So next time you say, Lord, give me the patience of Job, you need to watch out. Because you ain't been through nothing like you've been ready to go through something when you ask for Job's patience. Job's patience came through his problems, through his tribulations. And you got to know, when you want some patience, God's got, look, his principles don't change. The only way you can get some patience is through tribulation. Tribulations is going to work patience. That's the byproduct of patience. You trials. See, it takes somebody who done been through something who know now how to settle down. No, I ain't in a hurry no more. I understand that. Oh, no. Oh, I'm going to catch the next one. I'm going to wait here. I ain't too sure about this one here. It's a difference because your trials and tribulations have worked patience in you. And so, when you understand that, you then begin to operate in truth that transcends